The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
The level of calamity we are facing due to the half measures by states like California to handle the coronavirus outbreak is enough for any half-conscious person to scramble to get their bug-out survival gear ready.
There's probably other cases out there in the community that we don't know about.
The trajectory of what we're looking at over the weeks and months ahead is very uncertain.
As the CDC in Northern California took 4 days to test someone who proved positive for coronavirus of unknown origin.
The cat's out of the bag in terms of it having spread.
Tonight, Solano County health officials say containment of the coronavirus in this area is no longer an option. Today's press conference comes after a woman in the county was confirmed to be the first possible case of someone contracting the virus through the community, and not after having been to China or coming into contact with someone known to have it.
What we are witnessing is sloppy and lackadaisical in the extreme.
Should people be stocking up on cleaning supplies?
No.
Should people be stocking up on prescription medications that they have?
Not at this time.
Should people be stocking up on food supply?
Not at this time.
Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
As a face mask shortage of standard surgical masks and even N95 respirators is already in full swing.
Will Barnes' business supplies medical masks to customers, but first he has to buy them. Empty shelves like this one at the Walgreens in Fairfield is becoming more common. A Home Depot in the same shopping center is also out of masks. Barnes says he attempted to order some from Amazon weeks ago.
I just checked Amazon today and they canceled our order. And they said, they're saying that they don't see them coming back in stock. So we're rushing right now trying to find a new supplier.
Add to that, no one with the power to face the reality and prepare for the man-made nature of this Frankenstein coronavirus are willing to, at the very least, face it head-on as the virus is reinfecting those who had been cured.
Officials in China say around 14% of patients who had the coronavirus but recovered in the southern Guangdong province have tested positive for the virus again, and the same phenomena has been reported in Japan.
It does seem to me that the Wuhan BSL-4 is the source of the coronavirus, yes. And my guess is that they were researching SARS and they weaponized it further by giving it gain of function properties, which means it could be more lethal.
Some of these narratives that they're pushing include, one, that the coronavirus is an engineered bioweapon, two, that it was the CIA that cooked up this virus because China is now an economic rival to the United States, and three, blaming Bill Gates as the mastermind behind this. And I'm pretty sure that Bill Gates is a bit busy holed up on an island somewhere reading a dozen books a day, but you get the point.
Meanwhile, the Democrats, in true anti-American fervor fashion, are turning this nightmare into a partisan knife in the Trump administration's back, and ultimately the back of the American people.
This is not a time for name-calling or playing politics. Now, the Trump administration has mounted an opaque and often chaotic response to this outbreak.
And as school closures become more frequent and the pace of total incompetence reaches a fever pitch, the Gates Foundation and their partners in Big Pharma wait in the wings with their offering of the ID 2020 Alliance and its goal to microchip everyone on Earth as they push free and mandatory vaccinations upon the populace. John Bound reporting.
Tom Pappard. I'm not Owen Schroer. You might be wondering, where is Owen? Well, we are here at the National File booth, live from the Conservative Political Action Conference, otherwise known as CPAC. And I don't know where Owen went. It appears he might have been escorted out of the building. We're not entirely positive. We're trying to get a story out on that. It'll be up at nationalfile.com. But, I mean, brass tacks, I'll just let you know what happened. And this is not to attack CPAC. I don't know if Owen did something wrong. But what happened is he was conducting a live interview in Media Row, where you're allowed to do that, from my knowledge. We've done it. I saw Millie Weaver doing it. I've seen big people do it. I've seen people with much bigger cameras than InfoWars has do it. But for some reason, Owen and Savannah were asked to leave and, I believe, escorted out of the building. This comes one day, of course, after Gavin McInnes had the same thing happen, was escorted out of the building for simply trying to come to CPAC. So, National File, we're new. I guess, you know, we're flying under the radar. They have not isolated us yet. But, of course, as soon as we can hear from Owen, we will certainly try to do so and figure out exactly what happened. I believe we will also have a live video to play here on the War Room, or a pre-recorded video from Owen giving us a statement as to what happened. So, once again, I am Tom Pappert. This is Kim Coulter. She'll be co-hosting with me here for the first hour of the War Room. Coming up next, we will have Darren McBreen, some other great co-hosts or guest hosts, but I'm filling in while Owen is gone. And folks, I just want to be clear. I mean, I think you actually saw what happened, Kim, because this all happened when I was getting the camera.
I heard secondhand, but basically from the sounds of it, from all the reports, he was just doing what everyone else was doing. He was trying to get live reporting from CPAC so that everybody who isn't here can stay informed. And, you know, he attracts too much attention, I suppose. And people, you know, weren't giving anyone space to get by, and he got escorted out.
And again, I mean, the logical thing to do if there is a crowd, which, by the way, the National File business manager and I, when we had to leave and re-enter Media Row, this is a sea of people. We just had Ivanka Trump speak. Then we had Nigel Farage speak. So the main ballroom is packed to capacity. They all tried to leave at once. Folks were loitering. It was impossible to move. There were folks in wheelchairs who looked very, very uncomfortable with what was happening. Security did not come and disperse the crowd. Yesterday, Alex Jones was, of course, here at CPAC. He made an appearance and was immediately mobbed in a good way by fans. You would think he's a folk hero with how much attention he had received just yesterday here. But again, people were unable to move. You couldn't get through because Alex Jones was here. But Owen Schroer has a crowd of, how many people would you say, 40, 50?
Honestly, it was more than that. It was probably closer to 60 or 70.
So somewhere between 60 and 100 people, same exact thing that happened yesterday, but Owen Schroer gets kicked out. I don't want to beleaguer this. I don't want to bemoan it. I don't want to sit here and complain about it, but this is just the latest what's happened here on Friday of CPAC. So National File has, of course, been here. We were hoping to share this booth with Owen. We're going to make do. So we, of course, have had two great events this week here in the wonderful nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We had the First Amendment Emergency First Amendment Summit on Wednesday night. Had some fantastic speakers there. Then on Thursday night, last night, we did a party. We had a reception, lots of great, great speakers. And I do want to just take a moment to say thank you to the best sponsor we could have had for these events, and that is, of course, Band.video. Fantastic sponsor, super easy to work with, great people. Let's go and see. So, I mean, we'll get into some hard news this next segment, but let's kind of talk a little bit more about CPAC this year. And again, I don't want to denigrate anybody. I don't want to complain. I don't want to just call them nasty names. So I'll let you do it. No, I'm only kidding. What is your – because is this your first CPAC?
Yes, this is my first CPAC.
Okay, Kim Coulter, the first CPAC, this is 2020. This should be the banner year for all CPACs, the biggest CPAC in the history of CPACs, because President Donald Trump is on the ballot. What do you make of CPAC this year?
Honestly, and this is, you know, not to be too disparaging, but it is a little underwhelming. I expected a little bit more from it. I expected it to be a little bit more organized. I didn't, you know, we're supposed to be fighting big tech and not, you know, representing the same kind of the same kind of actions that they do to deplatform us, right? You know, with kicking out Gavin and again kicking out Owen, it's just very disparaging to somebody who's trying to, you know, be an up and comer in the field. And it's not, you know, it's not a deterrent. I'm going to keep fighting until there's nothing left in me. But it's very discouraging because we're supposed to be representing a conservative movement and we're supposed to be here to support the presidency of Donald Trump.
I think that I agree with that. I think a lot of folks would agree with that. And one of the interesting things to me, I don't believe this has ever happened to this extent before, but this year you've seen, I don't know if they're competing events or complementary events, but of course, as I said, National File has now hosted two. We did one on Wednesday, one just yesterday. Today is, of course, Nicholas Fuentes' big AF pack that he's currently getting ready for. It's going to be later tonight at some time. For those of you lucky enough to be in the email blast, you'll find out about that, I'm sure. But this, to my knowledge, I don't think this has happened before. If it does happen, these are always events that are also kind of neocon central. These are other events that are mainline GOP. They're not necessarily populist nationalist events like what we've been doing. You're definitely, in previous years, I know for a fact you've never seen Alex Jones at any of these other events. You've never seen Owen Schroyer, Gavin McInnes, all of these folks who we've had. You're never going to see Nick J. Fuentes in a previous year's event. In fact, Nick just had last year, I believe he did something along the lines of a hotel room party. So it's been very interesting this year to see things change, to see things build around CPAC, and CPAC kind of become the staging ground for events that then get even bigger. So it's been very interesting. What do you make of that? It's an interesting development, Kim.
With
new events sprouting out, kind of using CPAC as a foundation.
I mean, it makes sense as far as networking goes, right? If you're going to capitalize on the fact that there's a lot of people in the same place who all represent, you know, similar values, it makes sense that you would have other events that, you know, take place around the same event and around the same theme.
Well, and it certainly doesn't help when folks are kicked out, I suppose. I imagine that has something to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, creating competition brings out the pettiest in people.
I think you're right. You know, it's interesting. We have an interview. We're going to hopefully get it up on nationalfile.com tonight or tomorrow with the former head of CPAC, head of the ACU, basically the conservative juggernaut for three decades. And what's interesting is he said that, you know, we conservatives, Republicans, love free speech. We're not always going to get along. There have always been different factions within the Republican Party. You, of course, have had the paleocons. You've had the neocons. You've had the libertarian conservatives. You've had a million different, but only now, in 2020, this all started, you know, about 2015, only for the past 5 or so years has it really risen to the extent that it has now, where you've got this new faction led by President Trump in many, many ways that is taking over and reestablishing, much like what Ronald Reagan did, what it means to be part of the GOP. So what do you think the significance is that this new faction is here? CPAC doesn't necessarily want it to be here.
Well, like I said, I think it's representative of being afraid of competition. I don't think that people are willing to put ego aside and realize that we're fighting the same fight.
I think that's I think that might have a lot to do with it. I mean, and the fact that both of our events, the first was just about a capacity. The second one was completely a capacity last night. We couldn't fit another warm body in there if we tried. I'm sure AF Pack tonight is going to be at capacity. It's very interesting that these other new startup events are really taking over in a lot of ways and becoming huge. So I just want to give everybody who's just tuning in a recap. We do not have Owen Schroyer. He was removed for doing a live stream. More on that as soon as we have it. I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief of National File. This is Kim Coulter. She is one of our fantastic reporters at nationalfile.com. In the next segment, like I said, we're going to get further into news. We're going to get further into what happened with Owen and Savannah. We'll find out exactly what the body count is. Maybe we can figure out who all has been removed physically from CPAC this year. It's very complicated. I don't understand it. In fact, just as we've been doing this segment, I was going to wait and talk about it during the break, but like security guys keep kind of wandering by and checking what we're saying. And now it's almost like we're in the Soviet Union, Kim, and I'm worried that if I say the wrong thing in the presence of someone with a security badge, I'm going to get kicked out. I mean, it's
a very real, I mean, we're watching them circle like sharks, honestly.
And I'm sitting here thinking, I haven't noticed these guys before we started going. So do they know that we're doing the War Room, and are they unhappy about it? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. But you're, of course, watching the War Room. I'm Tom Papert, as I said. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to get more from Owen as soon as we can. We're going to get more from everything else going on. We're going to break into the news. We've got coronavirus news. It's been an insane day here in Washington and around the world. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Guys, do we have the Owen video going? Why do I have to leave? What pass? I have a pass right here. I've been invited to multiple radio booths. So I'm being... All right. I just want everyone to know that CPAC is now kicking InfoWars out. I just want everyone to know CPAC is now kicking InfoWars out. God bless you guys. We love CPAC. God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. Love you guys. We love you guys. I wish I could stick around and talk, but I'm being removed. Thank you guys. How you doing, man? I'm getting kicked out of CPAC right now. I'm being kicked out of CPAC, guys. It's been nice being here. It's been nice. They let me here the last 2 days, and then I think someone complained to have me kicked out. Is this Charlie Kirk having me kicked out? What's going on here? All right, folks. So that's it. So I'm literally being kicked out of CPAC right now. I don't know why. I followed all the rules. They told me I couldn't live stream, so I quit live streaming. They told me I couldn't be in booths unless I was at Radio Row, so I left my booth. I came up to Radio Row. Now they're kicking me out here. So I played all the rules they wanted me to play, but now they're kicking me out. I don't know why. Do I have a reason why?
Can I please go?
No, I have no reason why. Tom Fitton, God bless you. You're an American hero, Tom. God bless Tom Fitton. So InfoWars is now being escorted out. Yep, they kicked me out. See, I don't know. They won't tell me why. I think someone complained. Maybe Charlie Kirk.
Why do you think they kicked you out?
I really don't know. I think someone must have complained. I've been here 3 days. I haven't caused a scene at all. InfoWars is the most popular group here. I followed all their rules. I quit live streaming. I left the booth I was at downstairs. I came up to Radio Row like they requested, and now they're kicking me out. So a conservative political action committee is censoring itself in the age of censorship. They have panels discussing free speech as they censor themselves. And look at the media coverage here. InfoWars is the most popular group here. Look at what happened to Alex Jones. InfoWars is the most popular group in the Trump movement, and they're kicking InfoWars out, even though I followed all their rules. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Tom Papert. So you just saw the exclusive video of what happened with Owen Schroyer. So we don't want to dwell on the past. What's done is done. We'll give you more information as we have it. But there are some good things happening here. There's some very good things. I mean, they have had some great speakers throughout the day. We had Nigel Farage just a little bit ago. I'm here with our British correspondent, our British reporter, Jack Hadfield, who, of course, big fan of Brexit, everything you would imagine, great populist from across the pond. And Jack had a few minutes to speak to Mr. Farage. We're going to have this exclusive article up on nationalfile.com. Within the next couple hours, maybe 45 minutes, so keep an eye out there. But Jack, tell us, give us your impression of Farage's speech, and then, of course, without letting the cat out of the bag, what did Farage say, or talk about your discussion with Mr. Nigel Farage?
Well, yes, the speech was really amazing. It was, you know, brilliant to see. You know, as he was introduced as the godfather of Brexit, which he really is. You know, he's the one that made Brexit happen, despite never being elected as an MP. I think everyone said he's the most influential politician to never actually be in the House of Commons. You know, he's really changed the British Constitution. So that was what his speech was about. It was a celebratory one because he said, you know, this time last year when I spoke, you know, there was a plot to destroy Brexit, you know, and Theresa May was still prime minister. And during his speech, he said, you know, May is the worst prime minister that Britain has ever had. And, you know, there have been some relatively bad ones, but May really didn't do much. She screwed up a lot of things and she was out within just 3 and a bit years. So I definitely think that was definitely up there as a contender. And I would agree with Nigel.
So tell me a little bit. We've got an exclusive quote from Nigel Farage. We might play it in the next segment. But, I mean, that's fairly – I'm very proud of you, first of all. Great job, great tenacity. I don't know, maybe he could just recognize another Brit, but great job getting an exclusive quote for National File from Nigel Farage, the godfather of Brexit. But what did you and Mr. Farage get a chance to talk about, although briefly?
Yes, well, he said it was brilliant to be at CPAC as a, you know, foreign speaker, to be here and have the ability to celebrate Brexit. I think he mentioned in his speech that, you know, like 1776 happened, you know, really Brexit is just a continuation of that. And that now the Union Jack is also a symbol of liberty, freedom and anti-globalism and the return to the nation state.
You know, that's really something that I don't think can be understated. I mean, even while we've got coronavirus tanking the stock market, making MSNBC liberals very, very happy. They've been wanting this for literally years now. So while they're ecstatic, while they think that, oh, boy, we're finally going to get the end of Trump because the economy's bad, it doesn't matter because all across the world in every single country, there is some kind of growing populist movement, whether it's one already, as in the UK, I mean, they've taken charge. It's been a complete hostile takeover of the country, essentially. And of course, you still have some, like here in the United States. The Trump administration is going all right. We still have neocons all around who are trying to derail the president at every given opportunity, but it doesn't matter. In Britain, Marine Le Pen almost won. Her party did win when it came to the European Parliament, which, of course, Great Britain is no longer a part of. So in every single country, we just had the globalists fight back and get Salvini out in Italy, but it's all around the globe. So tell us about this. Some people say it started with Gamergate, but the first way that it started, this cultural revolution, as we all know, politics is downstream from culture. This cultural revolution really started with Brexit in the UK months, almost like what, 6-8 months before President Trump was elected here. So in a minute or so, tell us a little bit about how did that happen and where are we at now in comparison all the way back in 2015-16?
Yeah, well, I'd say really, as you're saying, Gamergate was the start of things. Actually, really, Brexit started at around the same time. In the 2014 European parliamentary elections, UKIP actually won. They were the first party to win a major nationwide election other than Labour and the Conservatives since the Liberals were in power back in the early 1900s. So it started from then in 2014. It took us really 6 years from that moment. But really, the anti-European movement has been going on all the way back since the first referendum in 1975, just bubbling under the surface, growing, and with UKIP starting to get one or two MEPs in the 90s, which Farage was part of, then slowly growing and growing, you know, becoming second in 2009, winning 2014. And then, obviously, Nigel's new party, the Brexit Party, absolutely dominating, you know, the 2019 European elections. And as he said in his speech, Mrs. May resigned the day after. It was the worst defeat for the Tories in their 200 years history. They came fourth, the ruling party of the country. So really, that's the power of Brexit, and that's the power of, well, Nigel Farage, who I it was brilliant to have a chance to finally speak to him.
Again, I'm very proud that you were able to get that quote. Great work. And I do want to add, that's the power of populism. That's the power of this movement that we're all a part of. It is human liberty. It's human potential being unleashed without globalist shackles weighing us down. I'm Tom Pappert here with Jack Hadfield. Jack, we're going to let you go write these articles, but thanks for coming on. You're watching The War Room. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm here with a congressional candidate. He is from the wonderful, wonderful country of China, where they've tried real socialism. They've tried Bernie Sanders' dream. They've tried communism. So please introduce yourself. I really don't want to mess up your name. Thank you for appearing, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
My name is Yu Kong Zhao. I'm running for the U.S. Congress for the 7th District of Florida. I'm also the Asian American leader fighting against Harvard discrimination.
I absolutely love it. So you've got an article in front of us here in the Washington Examiner titled What Bernie Sanders Doesn't Tell You, The Devastation of Real Socialism. And Bernie Sanders is, of course, I mean, the front runner. It remains to be seen if Bloomberg's going to be able to unseat him, and it remains to be seen if Bloomberg would really be any better. But tell us, I mean, about the real dangers of socialism or communism, whatever you want to call it.
So there's a two front on that. Economic front, the real socialism, they take over everything. No private property rights, no market transactions, and also no incentive for a good performance. Under that kind of disastrous economic system, and a Chinese economy collapse. And in the worst days, everything was in shortage. You know, basic needs like food, clothing, meat, everything was was rationing. And in urban cities, when I was a teenager, right, every urban city only get £1 or £2 meat to eat. And even with that, I had to get up early morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, to wait in the queue for, you know, 7 or 8 hours in order to buy a meat. That is economic. Politically, they, you know, only allow one ideology, which is the so-called revolutionary. They forbid any other different opinions. Like during the Cultural Revolution, my father was politically persecuted, and he endured the torture and also public humiliation, lost freedom for 5 years. During that period of time, my family can only see him once or twice per year. He also forced labor without pay during the weekend, right? And the worst on that is after a couple of years later, my grandparents and I were forced to relocate from the capital city of Yunnan province, Kunming, with a little bit better condition, to a remote village in Xindian County, where there's no electricity, no tap water, no nearby clinic.
Of course, the state just forced that.
Just a few months later, my grandma passed away after heart attack because there was no medical treatment.
So tell us, I mean, obviously your family got away from this. I'm so glad that you're here in the United States. Now we're seeing socialism on the rise here in this country. We have essentially two major political candidates between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren who are parroting the same type of platitudes about socialism we heard in China, we heard in Russia, we heard in Cuba and Venezuela, all of these failed states. And you've, of course, got AOC who is parroting and championing socialism, communism, call it what you like. What is it like to flee somewhere that's already fallen to socialism and then see it on the rise here in the United States?
I want to say I'm very alarming. And that's the reason I want to run the U.S. Congress. You know, I want to tell American people, especially the younger generation, you know, whenever Bernie Sanders and AOC try to glorify socialism in the U.S. Congress, I can forcefully reject them by telling my real life story. I live through that. They don't.
I think that's the key thing here. You've got in this country, of course, a bunch of folks who are swallowing the Bernie Sanders rhetoric without doing any of the research. I mean, obviously we don't want to get into personal attacks on Sanders, but what do you make of a man who, I mean, he honeymooned in the Soviet Union. He came back and said glittering and nice things about it. How on earth do you think Americans take this guy seriously?
You know, I want to say, you know, a lot of Americans, they have a good heart. But the problem is they've been misled by Bernie Sanders and AOC, right? So, one thing about that is people tend to evaluate a policy, just look at it superficially on objective. Socialism claims they try to save the poor. End of the day, they destroy everybody, including the poor, right? So we need to educate American people. when you look at a policy, not only look at objective, also look at how it works, whether or not it's effective. So that's very important. Also very important, you need like more people like me to tell the truth, to tell why socialism failed in China, in Soviet Union, in Cuba, in many other places, right? The more, you know, people hear our voice, people can recognize, can no longer follow Bernie Sanders or AOC.
I cannot say I agree anymore. You are absolutely right. So obviously in the news now and today, the stock market has taken a bit of a turn with the coronavirus. People are finally understanding that, hey, maybe China did not do the best job at containing this. What do you make of the Chinese government's attempts? I mean, we're seeing some real totalitarian things with the entire cities being quarantined, people not allowed to leave their houses. Do you think that that is this type of behavior is a symptom of socialism?
Yes, I think the worst thing they did is they use censorship, right? As early as January, like 2nd or so, a few brave like a doctor already disclosed, revealed there's a contagious disease going on. But it's this kind of socialist dictatorship, censorship really shut down. So China delayed three very crucial weeks to really prevent this thing from like spreading so rapidly. So this is another example how great America freedom is. If we allow government to control our freedom of speech, you know, we may end up, you know, that kind of disastrous situation.
I think that is you're definitely right. We've seen some shocking things come from China. I mean, so you obviously immigrated to the United States. How long have you been here with us? And again, I'm very glad you're here to tell the story. I'm just curious, when did you manage to get out of the socialism?
I legally came to U.S. in 1992 to pursue my MBA degree. At that time, I was, you know, just less than $200 with my pocket. So I suffered and survived socialism. I strived in American dream. So that's the reason I'm running for Congress to defend the American dream, defend America's founding principle, including free market system, the rule of law, equal opportunity, and freedom of speech.
I love it. I absolutely do. And I kind of want to continue on the coronavirus. We've got about 2 minutes left. But what is your prediction when it comes to how China is dealing with? I mean, it seems frightening. What is your prediction? Are they going? Do you think they're telling the truth? I think is my real question. Or do you think that they are hiding what's really going on?
I don't think they're telling the full truth yet. Okay, they keep changing the standard, the criteria. I think they need to be transparent, work with international organization, work with U.S. and many other other countries, really join force to combat this disease. That is number one. And also they need to take a further step, really help the people. You know, many people are suffering from China. So I think, they need to do more in terms of transparency, in terms of taking care, Chinese people.
You are definitely right. I'm so glad we brought you on today. Tell folks where they can find more information about your campaign. Of course, we've got your article here. It's in the Washington Examiner. Highly recommend people check it out. But where can folks find your campaign? How can they help you?
Yeah, my campaign is Yikong Zhao for Congress. For Congress.com. I have the chart here. Maybe you can look at that. And the website is on, and just visit my website. I think I want everybody help me. If you want to fight against socialism, please support me and go to my website, donate for me. I'm going to fight against socialism.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, folks, we're getting ready to go to break. I just want to remind you, we are watching The War Room. I'm Tom Papert, live from CPAC at the National File booth. We just had, and I'm going to butcher the poor man's name again, Yikong Zhao, here to talk about the real realities of socialism. While you're in the break, take a moment, go to InfoWarsStore.com, support this broadcast, keep us going strong. We'll keep you informed. We're going to have another person here up shortly. Thank you so much. Don't go away.
Infowars.com/show. Sir, God bless you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
No, no, no. Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Here, let's give you maybe a little background. Let's go this way. Well, here we are with the son of the Brazilian president, who's a real maverick, really only second only to Trump, promoting nationalism, God, family, country. And of course, they tried to murder him, they stabbed him, but he's won the presidency, and he's really caused a rebirth in Brazil. And his son is here at CPAC. This is really a great, epic moment. And we're so blessed to talk to you, sir.
I say thank you for the opportunity, Alex. Big fan of you. You don't even know, but a couple of years ago, I sent an email for you trying to be the InfoWars guy in Brazil.
Well, we wish we'd have got that email. We're small.
No, you're great.
So tell us about the relationship between Trump, InfoWars, and just the ideas in Brazil and what was already there, what your father stands for and the fights he's been through. People need to know he's a champion, a lion with hyenas around him.
Yeah, we are together, not only on trades, but also in the culture issue, fighting against all of those globalism that trying to bring to our countries a universal kind of government. So it's what is happening by the United Nations, by European Union, as you can see in the Brexit, and now we are reacting. We are showing to the people that we, conservatives, we that want to have a family and all of that, that we have a voice. We have a voice with Trump, we have a voice with Jair Bolsonaro, and we have the most tolerant guys. I mean, when you talk about the stab that my father got attacked during the elections period, the extra time, much of the press, they don't say that this step was made by a former member of the Socialism and Liberty Party in Brazil. So extreme left. They don't even use extreme left. They don't use extreme right or far, far, far right. So we are the best guys to keep Brazil going on the way of the freedom and of the prosperity. And thanks God, we are in a very good situation.
Let's speak to that. Bernie Sanders campaign people all over have been taped saying they want to put people in camps. They want to kill everybody. That's what communists do. Your father was almost killed by a socialist, by a communist. And when they attack, when they shoot members of Congress like Scalise, they will not say anything.
Yes.
These people are violent.
Yes, they are really violent. And they really support each other. Like, it's crazy how they don't talk about a lot about it. But if we say something that they can see, that they can get a word and tell that, you know, this guy, he wants a dictatorship in Brazil, which it is a real lie, they support, they give this voice everywhere. So we have to be connected, we have to be supporting each other to fight back against this fake news times.
What would you call this global wave of nationalism, of reconnecting with God and family? What would you call this wave? Because it's getting stronger, as you said, with Brexit and everything else that's happening. How far do you think this will go, and how will the forces of globalism strike back?
It's very hard. If you take a look in Chile, you're seeing how the leftists are trying to fight back against Pineda. In Brazil, it's not happening now, and the best thing to fight against it is cutting their money. If you cut their money, they are very smart when they create the institutes to receive the money. They don't have any kind of moral to send money to this kind of people. Brazil, when we had Dilma Rousseff and Lula da Silva in Brazil as presidents, they were giving our money from our public bank called BNDES to rebuild a port in Cuba, to build subway in Venezuela, and they never pay us back. So this is socialism. If you want to try Bernie Sanders, you don't even have to imagine about the facts. Look to Brazil, look to Venezuela, where they are going. And don't think that this is something far away from your reality. Because during the 90s, if you talk to any Venezuelan, that Venezuela would feel, would have a dictatorship in this way that they are having with Maduro, no one would believe in that. So please vote for Trump.
In closing, any other points you'd like to make? I just want to speak about the fact that communism never works except for the establishment. And if you tune into the news about Trump or your father, it's nothing but negative. But when you see nothing but negative, you know that person's good. And I think people finally, at least a large portion of people, a majority, now get away. When all I see is negative, someone must be good. And I don't know how the media, it's lost its power to a great extent, is going to survive now. They tried to censor us, but that's not working either. It seems like they're losing on every front, and their whole deep state operations are failing. What do you think they're going to do next?
I think they're going, some of them for sure, they're going to fail. And I think, like, more and more channels as InfoWars or other independent channels, they're going to start to grow up. I think this is what is going to happen. We are in the internet era. That's why they are crazy trying to control the internet.
I agree. Any other points just about the epic fight your father's in, President Trump, and what you see in the future?
I see the future perspective. We are only in the first year under Bolsonaro government in Brazil, and we reduced in 20% the first year, we reduced in 20% the number of the murders. We are not in a recession anymore. Brazil, we grew up a little bit more than 1% last year, and also generates a little bit more than 1 million jobs. So this is the right way, and I think if we keep going, we will never go back anymore to a socialist system.
And thanks for your support of Israel, too, and moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
We are studying that. Not sure if this year. If it's up to me, this year we are going to move the embassy to Jerusalem.
Woo!
But President Bolsonaro said that in the maximum next year, he's going to do that.
So your father is getting stronger while the globalists are getting weaker.
Yes, sure, yes. This is, you can feel that.
But the people have to know this is a total war. People need to go directly to what your father and others have to say. What is the best place to find what he actually says to find out why he's so attacked?
It's his social media. Forget about the mainstream media. If you look to the mainstream media in Brazil, you have, it's the same that I say to you that watch CNN. No, don't watch CNN. Go read a book, get a nice book to do that, or if you want like real information, you go to the independent channels or to the...
And by the way, they're even trying to ban Trump off Twitter now. I know they talked about trying to restrict your father, so the people have been banned. I know he's... Is your father going to stand up against big tech censorship?
This is an interesting case. Like, we need other channels too. We are strong in social media, but you're right, Alex. We don't know how much long does it will take. If you see Paul Joseph Watson and all the other guys, especially the small conservative ones that have a channel in the social media, sometimes they just block them, and that's all, and no one even know that.
Well, you're doing a great job, and tell your dad keep it up. He's a real inspiration. We have people like him all over the world, like Nigel Farage and others. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, folks. Amazing interview.
Welcome back. We're here at the War Room. That was, of course, Alex Jones with the son of President Bolsonaro of Brazil. Now, I'm here with two guests for the remainder of this segment. And one, of course, is Foreman Mike of We Build the Wall. Foreman Mike, how goes the wall?
Wall's going great. We've got our first two sections up, and we're getting ready to we're already dozing on section three, but we've been working on project four, and we're have to flip three and four. Because we're under time constraints and we're right up against a very bad cartel area in the mountains.
So, okay, we're very limited on time, but I know somebody tried to buy your hat yesterday and you said, hell no. Tell us about the hat.
Well, we had a donor purchase 14 bollard panels, complete panels for $5,000 apiece. And he said, I'll give you $1 million for the hat. And I said, you write the check for the $1 million and I'll give you the hat because I'm donating it all to the wall.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So how can folks help We Build the Wall?
Really simple. Go to WeBuildTheWall.us, study, stay informed, and realize that the enemy is at the gate.
Cannot agree anymore. I'm also here with another man who's very famous for taking on the Justin Amash, the weak-willed former Republican. I guess he's like Bernie Sanders. He's just an independent now. I don't know. Maybe he's going to start promoting socialism. And Tom Norton is his candidate. He was going to be running against him in the primaries, but again, he's not a Republican anymore. So tell us, what on earth is going on with Justin Amash?
Justin filed to be an independent after he tweeted with the president. We all know that. But I filed before the Trump tweet because he was telling veterans basically to go fly a kite and go to the VA. His constituent relations is awful, period. It's end of story. And if you're going to do that to veterans, what are you doing to regular voters? And the other thing is, he's not really like Bernie Sanders. He's more like Rashida Tlaib and Cortez and Ilhan Omar. If you look at his CARE rating, when he was a Republican, he was the highest rated Republican amongst CARE in the United States Congress. He is beating out Nancy Pelosi on CARE.
Wow.
So he's right in line with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar right there. So this is the type of congressman he actually is. He doesn't believe in the United States. That's why he's fighting for business deals in China, because he likes the free trade. He wants to sell out average Americans because it's more about him and profiting and not defending the United States. That's why he voted against the wall.
Absolutely insane. Wish I had more time with these two gentlemen. I want to let you both have the final word. Tell us one more time. How is CPAC so far? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
CPAC's great. We've got some great conservative minds. We're getting ready to raise some real hell. We're taking President Trump into 2020 with a big win. We're bringing all the construction guys. all the truck drivers, all the dozer operators, all the ass kickers. We're coming.
We're with you, Mr. President.
I love it. I love it. How's the campaign? Good, Pat?
It's going good. CPAC's good. Go to NortonForCongress.com, and that's how we're going to meet Doug.
Well, you're watching The War Room. More guest hosts coming up.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, all right. Welcome back to The War Room. I'm Darren McBreen alongside the one, the only Mr. John Bound in the house. Riding shotgun with me today. We are both filling in for Owen Schroyer, who I thought he was going to be on a plane.
Nope.
Heading back from Washington, D.C.,
nope.
But I guess he's decided to stay there.
Well, he got booted.
So right now he's getting kicked out of CPAC by those
20,
tolerant,
30 minutes ago, yeah.
Those tolerant conservatives.
It's fine for far right watch to be there, but InfoWars got to go.
Yeah, well, kind of figured that would happen, and indeed it did. So we're going to fill in for Owen. Owen will return to the War Room on Monday, I believe.
Monday
it is. So here's what's coming up. Larry Pinkney, a good friend of mine, and Larry is a former member of the original Black Panthers.
The real deal.
And we're going to talk about the freshman congresswomen, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar.
Oh, man.
How they disrespected a World War II war hero during, did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
During the State of the Union address, President Donald Trump honored this guy, Charles McGee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy is like the best America has to offer.
Oh, yeah.
On the flip side, these freshman congresswomen are the worst America has to offer.
Exactly.
Totally disrespectful.
And, of course, he represents who we truly are as a country.
Absolutely.
What we've been through, the milestones we've passed. Folks have gone through in this country, you know, our dirty history.
We've come
out of that clean, and we're moving into the future, and they just want to drag us back down.
Yep. And the thing is I watched the entire State of the Union address. I didn't notice that it happened, but Larry Pinkney did, and he called me afterwards, and he was pissed off, mad about it. And and sure enough, I looked into it, and I ended up doing a report on it, inspired by Larry Pinkney. And so, when we come back from this next segment, we're gonna run that report, and then we'll get Larry's take on it. Also, up later, the internet sensation, all American, good old boy, Outlaw Morgan will be joining us, and we're gonna talk about meme wars and big tech's latest. Basically, they're taking down political satire. That's their next target. Just in time for the 2020 election, they're now targeting political satire. And that means Outlaw Morgan might be out of a job, because that's pretty much what he does, and he's damn good at it. So I think his days are numbered on social media.
Yeah, we're not smart enough to determine what's in a meme and, you know, what is the truth.
And political satire has been around since the beginning of time. So, you know, it's ridiculous. Now, you're going to cover the latest developments of the coronavirus.
Yep.
Tell us what's coming up with that.
Well, I just wanted to get a little bit into where we are going as a country. Are you on the left? Are you on the right? Are you in the middle trying to figure out what's happening? Because a lot of people on the left are trying to turn it in. You know, they're saying, the New York Times is saying, should we call it the Trump virus? And, you know, which is ridiculous. So you guys can call it the Trump virus.
They will.
And then on the right, it also becomes a partisan thing, too, where people are saying, well, what the left is doing is they're hyping it up too much, you know, and that kind of takes us from the forest and the trees completely. You know, we're out in the middle of a field now trying to figure out what's in the air.
Well, and let me just say this, political satire isn't the only thing that's getting people kicked off of social media and the internet.
Yeah.
Also the coronavirus. Because if you say the wrong thing, if you spread coronavirus conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
if you dare to say that the coronavirus is a man-made biological weapon manufactured in communist China, how dare you?
I know Mike Adams today was schooling everybody. It was almost like we were in a college class,
mm-hmm.
what he was going through. And you really got to know what they're talking about. They tried to break it down in layman's terms, but we can't really understand what the coronavirus is unless we know what the coronavirus is. So if the media is going to stop us from understanding what we're facing because they've deemed it propaganda, then we're in a heap of trouble.
I agree. And Tucker Carlson's doing a good job, but that's probably the only person I know of in the mainstream. All right, we're also taking phone calls from veterans. This is the War Room, Infowars.com/show. Quick break. We'll be right back.
President Trump continues to battle the globalist forces of the deep state. The Democrat Party continues to take off its mask and reveal themselves as the true enemy of America and its people. Last week, Trump delivered a historic State of the Union address, which included an emotional tribute to honor one of the last remaining heroes of World War II. But wait a minute. Who the hell is that sitting on their asses during the tribute? You guessed it, the enemy within. That's radical leftist Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, caught on camera, seen here, refusing to stand up and honor Charles McGee of the legendary Tuskegee Airmen, a unit of black fighter and bomber pilots who distinguished themselves during fierce aerial combat missions in World War II.
After more than 130 combat missions in World War II, he came back home to a country still struggling for civil rights and went on to serve America in Korea and Vietnam. On December 7th, Charles celebrated his 100th birthday.
As Republicans and Democrats rose to applaud this all-American hero, Omar and Tlaib just couldn't bring themselves to do so. In fact, they ended up walking out of the speech early in defiance of what Rashida Tlaib said was Trump's lies and bigotry. But hey, this shouldn't really surprise anyone. After all, these are among the same radical leftists who refused to condemn Antifa after their terrorist attack on an ICE facility in Tacoma, Washington.
We are learning new details about the man who threw explosive devices at an immigration detention center in Tacoma, Washington.
Police are saying that a man was armed with a rifle and firebombs and attacked the private facility operated on behalf of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE.
Willem von Spronson, he was linked with the Antifa domestic terror movement, attacked an ICE facility in Tacoma. He was carrying an AR-15 and firebombs. He torched several cars that apparently hoped to burn the facility to the ground. He was shot dead before he could kill anyone.
Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? It's easy to condemn terrorism. Will you condemn it? Antifa firebombed a facility in Tacoma over the weekend. It's an ICE facility. Will you condemn them for that? Are you pleased? Should more people do it? It's easy to say no.
Look, we know who these people are, and we know their agenda.
We're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
But Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are not really traitors to America. To me, if you really think about it, they're more like infiltrators.
You got that right.
Very good.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that was describing again? Not traitors, but infiltrators.
Of course, the left would take offense to that and say, how dare you? You know, they're Americans too.
Well, I don't care what the left thinks.
But they're all infiltrating.
Absolutely. Well, let's bring in Larry Pinkney, because Larry, I know you're out there. I know you can hear me. You are the guy who inspired me to make this video. I told you after I talked to you on the phone, I said, I'm going to do a report on this. And at first I was like, well, let me check it out, make sure that this happened. Because like I said, I didn't notice it when I watched the State of the Union address. And then sure enough, it started coming out on the internet and on social media. And whoo, I've seen Larry pissed off a few times in my day, but this one kind of got you angry. Tell us why.
Well, first of all, before I do that, may I express my greetings to you, my brother, and to Brother John. Thank you both.
Good to see you, Larry.
Thanks. Sure. It's wonderful. And thank all my friends and my brothers and my sisters at InfoWars. All power to the people. Now, let me answer your question. I was enraged. In fact, I'm still incensed, frankly, at how this Tlaib creature and this Ilhan Omar creature disrespected and demeaned the battles and struggles of all of our peoples in this country. And when I say our peoples, I mean exactly that. All of our peoples, black, white, brown, red, yellow, American citizens. It was enraging to me, and it still is. My father, my late father, is a U.S. military veteran. He served in Korea. My big brother cousin, who is also late, who passed away approximately a year ago, was a U.S. military veteran who served in both Korea and Vietnam. How dare! How dare these two creatures disrespect the honorable service of these black Americans and white Americans and brown, red, and yellow Americans. How dare
they
disrespect?
What ran through my mind as I was watching this, and I was thinking, why couldn't they just pretend? I mean, blow smoke up my ass. Right? Stand up there and pretend like you're respecting him, you know? Just fake it.
Couldn't even do that.
But they couldn't even do that. And to me, that says a lot. It says everything we need to know about them.
That's correct. And this is what we need to understand, is that these people are deadly serious. That's why even as we speak, they and their cohorts are attempting to turn the coronavirus. They're attempting to weaponize it against this republic, against President Trump, against the citizens of this republic. So we need to understand really what we are dealing with. This is serious. These people are not playing games. They want to destroy us. They want to reshape and or destroy this republic, and we have to stand up to it now.
Which is why I've been calling for the Democrat Party now. I think for about 3 months now, I've been calling for them to be, we need to end it. It needs to be over. We need a new party. We need to start over. We need to realize, real Democrats need to realize where they came from. They were the pro-slavery party, and then they were they created the Ku Klux Klan.
That's right.
And they've used minorities and people that need our government as a social system. They've used those people for decades. And now they're in such turmoil that they've reached a point where they're going to come after our country during a virus that we're in the midst of. We're hitting the next phase. Even the Pope is getting sick, and it's a global pandemic. The WHO has raised the coronavirus threat to very high. You know, it's not a time to panic, but we do need to stick together. And if the Democrats can't do that for us, then we need to have another party in there for our big two-party system.
Well, and here's something that I've always heard Larry say, and Larry and I have been really close friends. Larry's family, right, to me. I mean, we talk every week. But one thing that Larry says that...
Larry's family to me,
he says that they are trying to... They want us divided. They don't want us united. They want us divided. And that's something they've always been trying to do. And Larry, let me ask you this. What is the number one threat to America? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it ISIS terrorist? Is it the coronavirus? Or do you think it's progressive Democrats?
Well, I would call them regressive Democrats, and I would also call them, quite frankly, coronavirus Democrats. How dare they not unite with the citizens and with the president of this republic? They are, at this juncture, at this point in time in history, who are they? The Democrat Party are the number one enemy of this republic, and that's a fact. Yeah. They have demonstrated it time and time again. They want to divide. They never, ever want to show respect for what our peoples, and I say our meaning black, white, brown, red, yellow, citizens of this country have done and sacrificed. So that's my response. All right. As you can tell, I'm still rather incensed.
All right. Well, Larry, listen. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, tell us what you really think. Don't hold back.
Uh-oh.
I love this guy.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Darren McBreen.
I'm John Bowne.
Alongside John Bowne, Larry Pinkney is our guest, and we're talking about the squad and how, you know, it's just that they're so disrespectful, and I just can't relate to them. They can't relate to us. Here's another thing, Larry, I don't know if you heard about this, but Ilhan Omar, I just can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Okay. She is calling for the GI Bill to apply to all U.S. citizens.
Right.
In fact, this is Veterans Call-In Day, so I'm going to give our phone number out, and you guys take a note of this. Write it down or tattoo this number on your brain. Give us a call, because I want to hear from veterans about this. Our phone number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I want to hear from veterans, because
I think they just internally despise patriots. What, you know, whether you're just an American who never fought in a war, or you're going to boot camp, or if you're just waving the flag on the 4th of July, they just cannot stand up for you.
They have no common sense. I mean, when you compare free college for everyone to the GI Bill,
yeah,
that cheapens the sacrifice.
Well, right?
It's common sense, man.
Just real quick, the irony of what happened with the Tuskegee Airmen at the State of the Union, the Democratic Party is responsible for the segregation that those airmen came back to after countless medals. They went over there and they proved, you know, to the world and to the United States, especially, that we're all just the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they went over there and at a time when the mindset of the Democrats was predominant and was saying that black people are less than white people or whatever. And so they went over there and showed, you know, that is not true at all. Not only that, we're all heroic Americans. We're all the same. Yeah. And so they came back, and they came back to a segregated America. And here we are in 2019. And they can't stand up because they come from that history of segregation that they're responsible for.
And like Larry says,
and that's what they're representing.
And they want us divided. They don't want us united. Larry, let me ask you this. Let's say that they would have pulled this stunt if there was a congressman or a congresswoman any other time in history, 70s, 80s, 90s, even 10 years ago. If they would have refused to stand up and honor a World War II veteran, wouldn't have that of any other time in history, that would have been political suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, it would have been. But you see, right now, the Democrats, I call them the Ku Klux Klan fascist Democrats, because let's be honest, that's what they are. The Democrats have become so insidious. So insidious and blatantly so about the disrespect for our republic that virtually anything goes. This has got to stop. You're right. Just a few years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, no one would dare to have stood up against our warriors, our veterans. And perhaps I should phrase it differently, because in this case, Ilhan Omar and Tlaib did not even stand to show respect. This is amazing. It is disgusting beyond measure. And there is no excuse, no excuse for this.
But at the same time, Larry, I do think it's a blessing in disguise because at least we know who they are. I mean, they're showing us what their character or lack thereof. And so I'm not judging them by the color of their skin. I'm judging them by the lack of their character.
That's their only defense. Their
character. And they're just horrible.
That's their people. Only defense.
And what I don't understand now, look, at least all the Republicans and Democrats together in unison, they all got up and Charles McGee got a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
These were the only two that didn't stand up, but we're not hearing anything afterwards. We're not hearing the Democrats come out and say, hey, what happened? How come you didn't stand up? They just didn't make a big deal out of it. So, and nobody really did, except for independent
we should all be outraged.
Everybody should be
outraged. But we've been censored so heavily in the media. Our voice has been censored. You know, his voice. His great-grandson's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just us because we're on InfoWars. His voice is censored.
Probably the most celebrated pilot in American history and, you know, part of the legendary Tuskegee Airmen, 300-plus combat missions. And then he went on to join, he was in the Air Force in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. And then again in the Vietnam War, retired as a colonel. And then Trump promotes him to brigadier general. I mean, this guy.
Well, in the laws of the multiverse, would Tlaib and Ilhan Omar actually be where they are now without what he did and what many Americans sacrificed? They wouldn't even be here.
Hey, it's no wonder Israel won't allow the two of them into the country. You know, I mean, these guys got a rap sheet a mile long, and I'm not saying criminal rap sheet. I'm scandals, FBI investigations, whether she married her brother. Yeah, so
she married her brother.
They're going to get theirs. I hope, you know, when I say that, I mean, I'm still waiting for Hillary Clinton to be behind bars. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's a lot of corruption out there. But look, man, this is the reason why we're tomorrow's news today. We bring this stuff up before anybody else. And we try to get this news out. And eventually, I do believe karma is a bitch and it's going to catch up to them. So, hey, we'll see what happens. So, Larry, what do you think about that GI Bill given I think it's the way they phrased it. She could have said free college for everyone, free lunches for everyone, right? But free college for everyone. But don't compare it to the GI Bill. My God.
There is no comparison. OK, first of all, it's absurd and ludicrous. Thirdly, it is utterly disrespectful to all of our veterans. All of our veterans. I don't give a damn what their color is or their gender. All of our veterans. For her to have said what she did say. It shows how she does not know, respect, or understand our history in this country. Quite frankly, she should zip her lip, do a little bit of studying, and understand, and then maybe can show some respect, though I doubt that she ever would. So, yeah, I mean, it's ludicrous, it's absurd, and it's incredibly disrespectful to the sacrifices of all of our brothers and sisters who have really laid their lives on the line for this republic.
Well, I totally agree with you, and we're going to take a break here in about a minute. But when we come back, I want to play a quick video clip where... Basically, picture this, okay? A single white male walking down the streets of Tacoma, Washington, with an assault weapon in his hands, AR-15, taking pop shots at people, throwing Molotov cocktails at cars, and trying to blow up a federal building. Sounds like CNN news team's wet dream. But guess what? They barely even touched on it. They barely even reported on it. And I'm going to tell you why when we come back. This is The War Room, Infowars.com/show with Larry Pinkney and John Bound. We'll be right back. Stick around.
The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
Making talk radio great again.
This is The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer over the phone right now, and I am in Washington, D.C., not live from CPAC today as we had been the last 2 days flawlessly. It was a great time. We interviewed all the great guests, but in case you haven't heard the news, today I was kicked out of CPAC. We don't know why. The HD video is on my Twitter account. If you want to see that event, and I'm sure that John Bowne and Darren McBreen are going to maybe even go to that HD footage while they have all their great guests coming on today. And so I'm going to hand the reins back over to them here momentarily. I'll just say this to the audience. I'm probably not in the best headspace to be live right now anyway. So it's good that John and Darren are there ready to go, and it's good that they have great guests coming up. But, yes, kicked out of CPAC today. Again, the HD footage of that happening is on my Twitter account. Darren and John, feel free to play that. If you guys are still lined up with guests and don't have time, perfectly understandable. So the audience just knows where they can find that. We'll also put it up at band.video. In fact, I'll just go ahead and put this order out on the air right now. If we can get Sam, the great editor there, to just pull those videos in and just splice them together. I know there'll be probably a little audio hiccups every time we put them together. Or maybe there's a way we can do it. I don't know, folks. We're, like I said, everything's changed. Everything's changed, and changed again in about the last 5 hours. The crew's probably laughing because they know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'll just say this. We're choosing not to make a big thing of this. We don't want, people to think that we're not welcome in conservative groups or Republican groups or whatever. So we're just going to leave it at that. Now, the good news is people are seeing this, and whatever you think the problem may be with Conservative Inc., people are seeing it and addressing it. They don't like having Owen Schroyer being kicked out of CPAC for doing absolutely nothing. And let's just say people in the know and people who, we'll just say flirt in the White House, maybe that's the wrong term to use, but they're around it. They know what happened and they don't like it. And so it's just yet another example of the censorship. Now, we're going to have, obviously, at band.video updates coming, and there's about a lot of other news to cover. So that's what we're going to focus on here today. That's what Darren and John are going to be focusing on here today with the coronavirus outbreak and with some of the other news that's developing. But as I've said, I wish that the president would take this opportunity to close the borders and really hit hard strong border security as a 2020 campaign issue, just like he did in 2016. And it's the perfect backdrop with coronavirus breaking out to do so. And yes, is the media trying to use this to hurt Donald Trump? Of course. Is the CDC? Yes, even the CDC is politicized, folks. The head of the CDC, Rod Rosenstein's sister. Yes, that Rod Rosenstein. So even the CDC is politicized. That's how dangerous things are, where the Centers for Disease Control is a politicized bureaucracy now. That's everything that happened under the Obama administration. They politicized everything. They politicized the judicial branch. They politicized everything. The courts, they politicized the Centers for Disease Control, the FBI, the CIA. Everything was politicized for the liberal progressive agenda under Obama, the anti-American agenda. And so we're seeing that now with the CDC being used to hurt Donald Trump and the mainstream media parroting it to hurt Donald Trump. Well, Trump needs to realize that America knows who these people are. America knows that the scum in the media are going to use anything to attack him, and that every branch now of these bureaucracies has been politicized. So he needs to ram through it, ignore the fake news, ignore them trying to demonize him with this, and do the right thing. Shut down the border, get back to strong border security, what he ran on in 2016, and use the backdrop of coronavirus, which if they're hyping up, I'm telling you, they're giving him a fastball down the plate. And, you know, he's too busy saying, hey, I asked for a curveball. Why are you giving me the fastball? No, he needs to swing at the fastball, hit the home run, and get strong border security. And so that's what is going on with that. Now, we've got a bunch of HD clips and videos and reports and everything that's going to be going up at band.video. Once I have a minute here to settle down, we are going to be doing that. But just remember, folks, everything we do is made possible by your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So it sucks that our coverage at CPAC, or at least my coverage at CPAC, got cut short today. But we proved another point. You know, the CPAC wants to have censorship committees and forums and have all of this stuff and invite everyone like Jared Holt from Right Wing Watch and CNN and all these other people. But InfoWars, not allowed, and then banned. So that's their choice, and they can live with that, and they can live with the consequences, which they obviously decided and measured and decided that that's what they were going to do. But we're not going to focus on that today, guys. We're going to focus on other news. So just continue to support us at InfoWarsStore.com, because they can censor us everywhere. But as long as you support us at InfoWarsStore.com, we'll always have InfoWars. We'll always have band.video. Thanks to your support. So I'm going to hand the reins back over to John and Darren, and they're going to take over. Stay tuned to band.video for more. All right, guys, take it away.
Thanks, Owen. That's insane what happened. And, you know, it just goes to show that the voice in the wilderness, those who stand with the truth, or even, I'm not saying we're always perfect, that we know everything, but at least we're trying to get to the bottom of things here, which is pretty rare these days.
Silly info warrior.
Yeah.
CPAC is for establishment conservatives.
Right. So we're just being pushed out of.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Out of every.
I'm sure Ben Shapiro's still there. They didn't kick out Charlie Kirk.
I mean, no, they didn't kick out Right Wing Watch.
No.
You know, they didn't kick out the New York Times reporter, opinion piece person who said all that racist stuff about white people. She's there.
Well, they captured it all on video, and it's on HD, and it's on band.video. It's also on Owen
Daily Schreuer's, Beast is there.
Owen Schreuer's Twitter, for now. You know, they don't like, they're probably embarrassed by the way they treated him, so eventually they're, even conservatives will call for Twitter to take that down. That's where this is going. Larry, does this shock you at all? You heard what happened to Owen. Owen Schreuer, InfoWars, kicked out of CPAC. Are you surprised?
Well, frankly, I'm not surprised. All right. I'm angered,
yeah.
But I am not surprised.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that Owen is correct. What we need to learn to do is to even more is to be both tactical and strategical. The fact of the matter is that rhinos, and I'm not calling them all rhinos or brinos, that's the black folks, the brinos and the rhinos. But the fact of the matter is that we have enemies or people who, I think you put it this way, Darren, I think you said establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a movement. This is a new movement. They have yet to realize that we are a movement. And we are sweeping aside the status quo.
We're the ones that got Trump elected. We're the ones that got Trump elected. Not these guys. I mean, you know, where was the Bush family? You know, they supported
Hillary. We're the ones that fought in World War II. We're the ones that fought at Midway. We're the ones that were the Tuskegee Airmen. We are the Americans.
John McCain.
That's who we are. We're not radicals here. We're just Americans.
I just think of John McCain and the establishment Republicans, these old, you know, rhino Republicans, all these guys. I mean, they're past tense, man. And that's what CPAC is hanging on to. And they're I'm telling you, it's going to backfire.
You mentioned John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I call Mitt Romney the reincarnation of John McCain. We've got too many. And we've got to deal with it.
Yeah.
We've got to deal with it. We cannot ignore it.
Yeah.
We cannot.
No, but we're going to deal with it. And they're trying to hang on. They're trying to hang on. And basically the big tech giants are trying to collude with them. They want the false right versus left paradigm to continue. So, look, we're still going to go after the squad when we come back. And I'm going to talk about the CNN news team wet dream. When we come back, I'll explain it all. Larry Pinkney's going to stick with us one more segment. This is the War Room. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. Darren McBreen here, coming to you live.
Welcome back.
Alongside John Bowne, long-time reporter, InfoWars reporter. McBreen. We've been here. We're the class of 2011, along with Marcos Morales.
That's right.
Who I'm sure is listening in right now.
Hello, guys.
We've been here a year or two. So, all right, picture this, if you can. Picture, if you will, a single white male walking down the streets of Tacoma, Washington, with an assault weapon in his hands, an AR-15. He's taking pop shots off people, and he's
sounds like an info warrior.
He's throwing Molotov cocktails into cars, and he's trying to blow up a federal building. And it sounds like a wet dream for the CNN news team. But guess what? They didn't hardly even cover it.
Bum, 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 bum.
How come they wouldn't cover something like you would think?
Because he was associated
with Antifa. And the federal building that he tried to blow up was an ICE processing center. That's probably something they would like to happen. So no David Hogg, no celebrities crying on TV telling us that we shouldn't have our firearms. And it was just zip. Yeah. Crickets. Well, crickets. Yeah,
it's the narrative.
So I want to show what happened when members of the squad were asked by Rebel Media, the only media out there with balls enough to approach these.
Still out
these
there doing women. It too.
Yeah, yeah, they're awesome. Yep. So they went up and they approached the squad and asked them to condemn the terrorist attack by Antifa. Roll clip number two. Check this out. I think we know their answer, don't we? Check it out.
Probably no answer.
Condemn Antifa for the attack in Washington? It's easy to condemn a terrorist attack. Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? It's easy to condemn terrorism. Will you condemn
it? Sorry, I got a whole new brick.
Will you condemn Antifa for attacking an ICE facility? It's very simple.
Why would I do that?
Will you tell Americans not to attack violently ICE facilities?
Not even on camera. They can't do it.
How dare you ask me that question?
Facility in Tacoma over the weekend. It's an ICE facility. Will you condemn them for that?
I'll applaud them.
It would be a very simple thing to say, and it would go a long way to tell Americans that you're not sympathetic to Antifa. Are you pleased? Should more people do it? It's easy to say no. They firebombed an American facility. Will you condemn them?
Excuse us, we have to get to the minute.
Excuse us, we're incredibly important.
Will you be condemning
to ourselves?
Do you feel like you're
not Americans, but ourselves?
With your rhetoric about concentration camps, are you responsible? Do you feel ashamed?
All right, this is for Rebel Media.
Self-importance.
Rebel Media doing the job that the mainstream media is supposed to be doing, but they're too chicken shit. Sorry, guys, delay that. They're too chicken to do so. All right, it makes me so angry, but at the same time, I'm very encouraged. I love to see other independent media outlets doing the job that the mainstream media should be doing. Larry, what the hell, man? They can't condemn a terrorist attack by Antifa. What the hell's going on?
On American citizens.
They're obviously terrorist sympathizers.
Yep.
I mean, because as the good book says, you know, action speaks louder than words.
Yeah.
Okay? So does lack of action. And the fact of the matter is, some people call Antifa Antifa. I call it Klantifa, mm-hmm. K-L-A-N, Klantifa, because they use the same tactics that the Democrat Party has historically used to disenfranchise the American people, and particularly Black American people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no surprise. They have no shame. They have no honor. They have no integrity. They will lie. And this is what we need to be prepared for and to expect.
They're the real fascist.
Yes.
And you said that from day one. They are the real fascists.
They're the real brown shirts.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. They basically blame you for the crimes they commit themselves. And so that's why they're calling us fascist.
I know you are, but what am I?
But it's a shame, though, in these colleges, these dumbasses at college and at these universities, they fall for this. And Larry, I know you and I've talked about this before. It seemed like back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, you go back further in time, you talk to your average college student, anybody at a university, and they were just bright-eyed, and they were just hunger for knowledge. And boy, I tell you what, you can have a long debate with them and just a real intellectual conversation. Now, what the heck? It is like the Twilight Zone, man.
Don't get three old guys started on this generation. We'll be here all night.
You can't talk to them. It's amazing. I mean, times have changed, haven't they, my friend?
Unfortunately, times have changed in the negative rather than for the positive, except, of course, for the Patriots and the huge awakening that's going on. But as we've talked many times before, Darren, the fact of the matter is that these college students, not all of them, but significant amount, far too many, are in fact brainwashed. And I use that word guardedly and purposely. Mm-hmm. They are brainwashed. And so you can't have, they're ignorant as well. And of course, add in a dash of arrogance, and you've got liberals, you've got so-called progressives who are really regressives. That's who you've got all rolled into essentially the Democrat Party. So, yes, my brother, you and I have talked about it many times. I'm sure you and John have, too. So, yes.
And it's not just the colleges. It's not just the colleges and universities. It's all the way. Man, it's starting at grade school. Mm-hmm. It's now starting at drag time story hour. So, I mean, they're hitting them young. They're hitting them young nowadays.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Klan Tifa.
Yeah, yes, do you indeed. Like that? Klan yes, Tifa.
Well, the problem with the youth today is that they're completely disconnected. Now, when Larry says, my brother, that means a lot more to me than these. It may just sound like a catchphrase to people nowadays, mm-hmm. but I actually know what he's saying by that. Mm-hmm. I know what he means by that. And right. what he means by that is that he's a humble person, I'm a humble person, and we care about each other. And that's the reality we live in. That's the reality we come from. And now we're going into this reality where people only care about themselves. It's me generation squared. And
it's by design. I just want to say it is by design.
And it is completely the antithetical to this country, the fundamentals of this country. You know, AOC got angry because somebody had used pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that you can't physically do that. That it's an expression. It's what we are. We work, we build, we dream. You know, that's who we are. We fight. You know, that's who we are.
Liberalism, I just want to say this, liberalism, it's not just a trend. This is, like I said, it's by design. These are social engineers, folks, at the very top. And Larry Pinkney, he's been fighting this fight for a very long time. In fact, if you guys could find the B-roll of his FBI profile, I'd like to read just a little bit of that. Because, like I said, Larry's been doing this for a long time. And we went out and got his, through a Freedom of Information request, we got his FBI profile. And this is what makes Larry so dangerous, that they are saying that he is potentially dangerous due to his demonstrated ability to, listen to what I'm about to say, to unify black and white, right? This mm-hmm. was during J. Edgar Hoover's FBI
oh, sure.
and COINTELPRO, and it was secret. Larry did not know about it until, I don't know what the hell, I think we talked when you first read it, you even thought it might have been J. Edgar Hoover himself. We got no proof of who wrote it. It definitely came from his office. Yeah. And then it goes on to say, special attention is being given to neutralizing him. So this is a game that they've played for a long time, and to be honest, they've just perfected it now. And now the target is the big tech giants. It used to be the mainstream news media that was totally controlled by a handful of corporations. They totally dominated, and they controlled the narrative, especially on the left, right? Now, the internet gets introduced, and it's like the wild, wild west, and it's a wide awakening. Everybody's awake. That's how I woke up. I don't know if I would be awake right now if it wasn't for the internet, because we had all this knowledge at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally, the elite and the global elite, they got to shut it down.
But even before the internet, there were people like Larry, and there were people like John Lennon mm-hmm. who were out there saying things. You know, we think of John Lennon as just some musician.
Yeah.
But if you actually live through it, he was out there every day in your life, and he was saying the same things we're saying here.
He was dangerous because he was preaching about peace.
And military and Hoover and Nixon,
like that.
They had their eye on him just like they had their eye on Larry.
Yeah.
And they took John Lennon out.
Yeah, the peacemakers are dangerous, and the people that want to unify people of all color are the most
dangerous. This message is dangerous. Truth is dangerous, absolutely. And it's getting more and more dangerous like dynamite.
All right, Larry, we got to let you go. I will talk to you this weekend. I'll give you a call on Sunday. So take care. Hey, when we come back, this guy right here, Outlaw Morgan. If you haven't seen Outlaw Morgan, you're in for a treat.
Thank you, Larry.
All American good old boy. See you later, Larry.
Take care.
Outlaw Morgan's next.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Your Wi-Fi connection and make sure we're on. Red Eagle to base.
Go ahead, Red Eagle.
We are under heavy fire here, sir, and I need permission to go weapons free.
Stand down, Red Eagle. That's an order. Over.
Stand down? What are we, the OT first? I'm going in. Listen up. They left us high and dry. It's all on us now, boys. We're going in. Frag out! Cover face. Send. Our Wi-Fi's too slow. We need to get another satellite up there. Give us a G5 pronto. I'm out. Reload. Send. This is Red Eagle to base. The firefight is over, sir. The enemy has been defeated. Turns out the left can't meme.
You hear that? Turns out the left can't meme.
The left can't meme.
They just can't do it. They try. They just can't do it. Hey, we've got internet sensation and all-American good old boy Outlaw Morgan joins us now. And he's the one that just made that video. By the way, go to his Facebook page and go to outlawmorgan.com. Go to his YouTube channel, subscribe, and you won't be sorry. I'm telling you, it's some of the funniest stuff you'll ever see. But it's not just funny. He does a lot of political satire. And first of all, welcome to the show. Harley, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Fantastic, mister. Was anybody hurt in the filming of that? That looked pretty dangerous.
I don't know. Honestly, you know, like sometimes I set out with an agenda if I film something, but that particular thing I didn't, and it just kind of fell into place that way. Like it was spur of the moment, but it's definitely true. I mean, the left can't meme, and the right just basically kills the left in every way, every degree. So, you know, sometimes you just got to remind them that they suck at life.
Well, do you know that's the new target? Just in time for the 2020 election, YouTube and Twitter have announced that they're basically, this truly is the meme wars, but they're not going to play fair by making memes that are funnier or more entertaining or more educational or what have you. No, they want to shut us down. See, so of course that's what they do. So they want to go after basically political satire. And I wanted to bring you on and talk about that because I thought, wow, I mean, you're no stranger to being put in Facebook jail. You've been censored many, many times. And I just feel like you're this close, man, to be being taken off. By the way, if they do delete you completely, I think we've got a spot for you on band.video. I just want to throw that out there. Mm. But meanwhile, do you find yourself holding back at all? I mean, because I mean, you got to be this close. I hate to admit it. Sometimes even I I might hold back just a little bit sometimes because I'm afraid I'm going to lose my Facebook channel.
I definitely hold back, bro. And listen, it's something that's been taught by conditioning. You know what I mean? Like we are definitely in the construct of a communist platform via social media. So when I first came up onto the internet, the things that I said were just as raw and as real as if you and I were talking in a bar. And, you know, now because of the way they do this, they ban you and they keep banning you and they keep banning you and they threaten to take your page away. And my page has already been shut down twice.
Yep.
And currently on the back end of my page, if you look at it where it says quality control or quality page quality or whatever, everything's in the red. And I currently have about 8 hate speech violations
Yeah, and so they're telling you. They're telling you, get ready. It's coming. Yeah, so we're already approaching our first break already. Then we're going to come back and want to talk to you some more. I'm also going to bring my son on, Kellen McBreen, InfoWars writer. He was kicked off of Twitter. He had a Twitter suspension. They reinstated him. Now he's gone for good. And, yeah, he is permanently kicked off of Twitter, and we're going to tell you what happened there. So, very good. We got Outlaw Morgan here. I'm Darren McBreen, John Bound. Kellen McBreen will be here in a little bit. This is The War Room, Infowars.com/show. Quick break. We'll be right back.
In a time in this modern day society where you are encouraged to speak your truth, whether it's Hollywood telling you to speak your truth, whether it's MTV encouraging you to speak your truth, whether it's mainstream media, award shows or ceremonies, or even this billboard. That's right. Get out there. Turn on your phones. Go live. Get active. Say something to the folks. But be careful what you say, because the bottom line here, simply put, is that there is a pre-programmed, pre-constructed version of truth. And if you do not co-align with their values of that, then you are committing hate speech. Ask me how I know. Well, because currently my page on Facebook has multiple hate speech violations, and I'm actually being threatened of having my page unpublished. And this is because Facebook allows anybody and everybody to go around and report pages they don't like or report content they disagree with and classify it as hate speech, which puts you at the mercy of Facebook to basically appeal and overturn the decision of people who are offended. Yeah, offended, triggered, microaggressed, need a safe space and a nap. I don't know what's up with people these days, but when I actually think about the terminology hate speech, I picture Adolf Hitler in my mind. You know, a dude standing up at a podium in front of all these people and they're all wearing brown shirts because he said wear brown shirts, and he's telling those people they have to go out and genocide an entire class of people. Yes, that is hate speech. A video of myself calling out Colin Kaepernick because he's wearing a Kunta Kinte shirt to the workout is not hate speech. The video that I shared from another person online that showed Popeye's employees scrapping inside the Popeye's establishment is not hate speech. Whoa, stop. Time out. Apply pressure to break. Everybody just take a breath and calm down.
Wow. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah. A
lot more where that came from. OutlawMorgan.com. Check him out on Facebook. Check out his YouTube channel. It's still up there for now. It is still up there for now. So, and you're not alone. I mean, and it's not just high profile cases, because naturally the more views you have, the more followers you have, you become more of a threat. And not only that, there's tattletales. We have tattletale groups, CNN, Newsweek, watch everything we do, everything we do. And man, they report on us, they tattletale on us all the time. They flag our videos, for example. And some people are like, well, I thought you guys were already taken off of YouTube. Well, we have what we call InfoWars proxy channels. I'm sure, same with you, Harley, you have people that might copy your videos, repost them, or make a collage of your best stuff and that sort of thing. So even they are targeted, and it's to the point now where, and here's another thing, it's a chilling effect. So you don't want to share an InfoWars video because you're afraid that they're going to come after you too, and you're afraid of you know.
Just take me down then. I'm just gonna post whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
And when you're ready to come get me, come and get me, because I'll just keep coming, you know, until you, you know.
Well, can I interject here and just say something real quick, gentlemen? Mm-hmm. I mean, I find it odd that we were up against a machine that is tremendous in size. I mean, it's not just YouTube, it's not just Google, it's not just Facebook. I mean, there are people that have actually been knocked off of these platforms, and it didn't stop there. There were people that were actually making their livelihoods off of producing content, and they actually were had their bank accounts shut down, their PayPal shut down. It's like they were erased from the acknowledgement of the internet. This is way bigger than what people really know about. Mm-hmm. What's really going on here is the fact that there was once a point in time that you would go to YouTube and you would search any given topic. Mark Dice would come up first, or InfoWars would come up first, or Paul Joseph Watson or somebody like me would just pop up. But ever since the ad apocalypse, everything that you search is Alphabet Media, it's ABC, it's NBC, it's PBS. I mean, this is you want to know what a real collusion looks like? When politicians and mainstream media take over social media platforms, that's a real collusion.
Well, you're absolutely right. And as a journalist or, you know, video editor, when I do research, it is night and day. The last couple of years when I do research, you know, we talked about you type in the Clinton body count up the run up to the 2016 election. You would type in the Clinton body count, and you know how they have this thing called autofill. So when you start typing, whatever the most popular searches will start to automatically fill up your search engine bar and give you suggestions. Well, Bing, no problem, Clinton body count. But Google was Clinton body shop. They absolutely suppressed that. And come on, man, that's evident. We know that's happening. Now it's with everything, especially when it comes to vaccines.
Well, if you want to know the truth about the coronavirus right now.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to know if it is engineered, if it was man-made, where it came from in Wuhan, go try to look that up on the internet. Good luck. Good luck. You're going to have to know certain words.
Let's also keep in mind, too, that the coronavirus, as far as the information was going across Twitter, was going across Facebook from individuals far before media ever picked it up.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say. The big problem that they're facing here is that there's individuals, real life, not affiliated with any type of commercial government-ran outlet. They're not getting a script to talk from. And these people have bigger followings and can go live and have bigger viewership than the prehistoric media. So that in itself is the problem. When people can be on Facebook and they're passing out information that they won't suppress, because let's face it, whoever holds the gateway to information is king, right?
Absolutely.
Who can ever send out that skewed, biased opinion to the sheeple and make them buy, oh, yeah, well, this is what so-and-so, this is what Don Lemon said, so it has to be true, right? So they see us as a threat. Everybody, whether it doesn't matter if you're a conglomerate, like, you know, like you guys have a pretty decent size outfit over there with InfoWars. But then you have also out here just people that are just everyday, average day Joes. And they have bigger viewerships than CNN. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to go live on Facebook and have 23,000 people watching. And then Facebook realized they didn't like what I was saying and how I was saying it.
Well, I think it's proof that we have a huge following. Harley, you came out here, spent a couple days out here. We went out in downtown Austin, had a beer or two, and people are walking up to him wanting his autograph. Mm-hmm. He's not on television, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's Outlaw Morgan. And they just love him, and they recognize him immediately. In fact, since then, I bet you once a week, at least once every 2 weeks or so, I'll have a buddy send me one of your videos and, hey, check this guy out. This guy's hilarious. It's like, yeah, well, I kind of know him, you know, but
I always tell my wife just to be sure to tell all her friends that she can't control me. But like, that's my excuse. Like, I'm my own man. I have my own thoughts. Even I sit back sometimes and I'm like, oh, man, you probably shouldn't have done that. But whatever, it's done now. But I mean, like, we live in a society at this point where imagine if people didn't start speaking up. Let's rewind back to like when before Trump came down the escalator. It was a totally different time. And that wasn't that long ago that a lot of people out there, individuals who feel like they've got this turmoil inside of them. They got something they want to say. They want to be able to address these social issues that the government has just been shoving down our throats without our acceptance or without our knowledge, consent, whatever you want to call it. Philadelphia is a prime example. Philly recently tried to like slide in a safe injection site into a neighborhood. Without people knowing, and I'm sure you guys may have seen the video where the people from the neighborhood, the ladies, like going off on the mayor over there. So, you know, like the internet, I feel, was given to us from the government. Now, the worst case scenario for them is it created a ultimate transparency.
Yep.
And then now we use that as a weapon against them.
Yeah, exactly. They lost control. They lost control of the narrative. And that's why the big tech giants are trying to control it again. And it's not just a leftist assault, okay? Because we know about the phony left versus right paradigm. No example better that I don't know if you heard about this, but Owen Schroyer was just kicked out of CPAC, right? And he wasn't doing anything controversial.
Boy, you can't take Owen Schroyer nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, he's gone. So, and we've got that video up right now at band.video. But no one is surprised because these are CPAC's an establishment Republican type of thing. And so these are for the guys who are part of the establishment. To me, no difference between Republicans and Democrats once you're at that level.
Let's be brutally honest. Let's just break this down to what it really is. Okay. With the left, you have a paradigm that has 490 degree angles. It's called a box. And with the right, you have the exact same thing. And if you don't fit in that box perfectly, you can't be a member of Turning Point USA.
Well, absolutely right. Absolutely right. All right, we're going to take stay one more segment with us. Okay. All right. So yes, we'll be right back with Outlaw Morgan. I'm Darren McBreen, John Bound in the house. You're watching The War Room.
TheWarRoom.com/show.
Bandai Video. Check it out.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the War Room. I'm Darren McBreen alongside
John
Bound. John Bound. Yep. In the house.
We are two separate people. We are not the same person.
That's right. A lot of times people get confused.
I can do an impression of you pretty well, though.
Somebody recognized my voice in, I forgot what bar I was at, but yeah. Anyway, they're like, John Bound.
Yeah, they always ask me if I'm you.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you finally see us together. So yeah, we're two different people. Hey, we've got Outlaw Morgan with us, and we're talking about meme wars. And how the big tech giants are now targeting political satire. And that means Outlaw Morgan might be out of a job.
You know who else wants to kill comedy, right? Nazi dictators, communists. They hate to see people laugh. And well, listen, comedy is the best way to kill your enemy.
I was just going to say, it's the most effective. It's the most effective. And you know, it even says that in Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radicals, and that is ridicule. That's one of their number one bullet points is ridicule. So it's okay for them to use it. They don't want us to use it. They use it every night on late night comedy, all right? Every Saturday on SNL, every night on Stephen Colbert. That's their, it's a very, very powerful weapon. And a lot of people watch that stuff and they take it as the gospel truth. And that's their news source. That's very scary. But I'm telling you, it's highly effective.
Slow down. You know, a lot of people get their political perspective from Joy Behar on The View. Oh,
that's true. But that's a scary thought. That is a very scary thought.
Terrifying. But that now, is terrifying.
Now, just in time for the 2020 election, you know, they're going after political satire. I'm going to read a couple headlines. Facebook blocks viral pro-Trump meme maker hours after page launch. All right. Facebook suspends page over pro-InfoWars meme. All right. Twitter's new rules lead to fears of meme ban. Right. So they're coming after us, man. I tell you what. And let me tell you, I want to talk about my son, InfoWars writer, Kellen McBreen, because he's way out of control.
He's out of control.
Kellen, I mean, my son is out of control. You're not going to believe what he did. He was on Twitter a few months ago, and this crazy kid, he told Bernie Sanders, you're not going to believe this, he told Bernie Sanders that illegal immigrants are criminals.
Oh, my God. That's not woke. You're not thinking like woke individual.
He said that on Twitter, man. And guess what? They suspended him.
You mean illegal?
Illegal immigrants are criminals.
You mean the illegal?
The illegal ones.
Are criminals?
Yeah, that's, you can't say the truth. That's somehow, and guess what they called it? They called it hateful conduct. So he was kicked off, I think for only a week or so, right?
7 days.
7 days. Okay. He was kicked. There's Kellen. And so he was kicked off, reinstated, but it wasn't too long before the Nazi Twitter, I mean, they came back in, and this time he's gone for good. And that's because he got into a Twitter war with a hip hop artist. Kellen, what the hell happened there? Why did you get kicked off permanently this time?
So, yeah, I was in a Twitter beef, I guess, with Talib Kweli, this rapper. And essentially he called me a Nazi because I posted a Breitbart article. And his logic was that because Breitbart, in his opinion, is a Nazi a publication, and I posted Breitbart that I'm a Nazi. So I told him that I said, pretty sound logic there, retard. And it was enough to be permanently banned from Twitter. I'm never allowed back on.
The R word. Hey, at least he went out with style. Well, you're not allowed to say that. Oh, my goodness. So
I might be back.
How are you going to be? Oh, that's right. Because you could do anonymous and yeah, you could fight back. There's ways. Well, you know what?
So that's in this day and age, you can't diss a rapper anymore. He can't. Well, he can't come back at you.
Listen, he had a couple strikes. Okay, he went full blown white supremacist. He referred to a Breitbart article. That's strike number one. He attacked a black rapper. That's strike number two. And he said, retard.
Now, is it wrong for me as a father to be proud of my son for calling him a retard?
Hey, you know what? Bravo, sir. Bravo. I think that deserves a round of applause. I think, listen, here's the problem. We all know that everybody's gotten so sensitive. And here's what really trips my trigger about the whole ordeal, right? Is that we are trying to self-censor ourselves to appease people. And that's the essence of political correctness, which nowadays has been called woke because political correctness as a terminology has been tainted and because we destroyed it for the past 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And now they're calling it woke culture. And woke culture is the biggest tumor, cancerous thing I've ever seen in my life. It just ruins everything good. It's like, can everybody just calm down? How did it affect your life that this man posted on Twitter? Did it destroy your life? Are you getting therapy? I'm not even on Twitter. I personally hate it, but it's like I see it on every social media platform where it's like the woke culture comes after you. They try to shut you down. They mob attack you and everybody flags and reports you. And the next thing you know, you're off the platform. Twitter, I actually got banned from Twitter because I had words with a guy that was trying to normalize pedophilia. And I put his ass in check and they bought me off the platform. I was like, for real, this is where we are right now, dude. Men who find young boys attractive is somebody that they're trying to protect as if that's worth protecting. I don't want nothing to do with Twitter after that.
And it's not just the social media, the socialist media world that this exists. It goes out amongst the bureaucracies. You know, there's a story about this kid, Gabriel, out in California, who the child services didn't protect because everyone ignored it because they were too lazy to actually they didn't want to force themselves on these parents that were abusing this kid. And that's it permeates from socialist media, from the journalism, you know, the mockingbird media that we all endure. It all just permeates into our culture. And it's not going to stop someone like you. It's not going to stop someone like Kellen or myself or Darren or Larry from continuing to say the truth. We will not stop. We will not stop giving our opinion. We will not stop using our words. We know, and none of us would ever want to hurt somebody or, you know, hurt their feelings to the point to, you know, we abuse them. But there's a point. There's a point as an American, you know, of what we're made up of is like, if you can't take it and dish it out, then get out. You know, it needs to stay that way or we're done.
I can't take this anymore. Yeah. I'm out. I can't take this. I am so offended. See? Everything you guys just so offensive.
You just triggered Marcos.
Opinions.
Hit the red alert.
This is just the worst. This whole show is awful.
Who let that leftist in here?
Bye.
Oh, he
for
said,
good this time.
Oh.
And he put, I swear, guys, I'm leaving.
And he put his feelings.
Wow. Marcos.
He's coming back.
He's pissed off and mad about it.
No.
I'm actually glad he said the word apologize, right? Yeah. Because
Don't do it. Don't ever apologize.
Don't apologize.
That's exactly it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we need more people that say what they mean what they say, and don't apologize for it.
Yeah.
One of the worst things Roseanne Barr did was apologize, and she regretted it immediately because they go into full attack mode. Don't apologize. Absolutely.
No. No, that's the next wave of truth is that we will not apologize. Stop apologizing.
Yeah, man.
That was a phase. But whoever was apologizing out there, just stop. Speak your mind.
Retard.
There is a war on for your mind.
Quick break. Right back after this.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
The
This broadcast contains subject matter that might offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. You're now listening to the unfeeling, heartless scum, Darren McBreen, on the War Room.
Warning, this broadcast might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room.
Yeah, some liberal tears. I see Outlaw Morgan over there. Boy, I tell you what, man. You know what? They are damn entertaining, though. When the leftists lose their minds and they go crazy, they're damn entertaining.
You can say it's entertaining. I almost find it like concerning to a level. Like, I know you guys have seen the one where like the Sinead O'Connor lookalike bald headed chick was in somebody's face, and I think it was a trans person that they were screaming at, right? Like, if I remember correctly, it was a drag. Oh, it was that MAGA girl guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And, it was yeah. There, yeah. That's a thing. There's a guy that's a MAGA girl drag queen. Okay. So the Sinead O'Connor, not that one. This is a different one where it looks like it's downtown New York and it's like at night.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
I can't tell. They look alike. Yeah. They all look alike.
I don't know, man, but they are the gift that keeps on giving, because I use those clips a lot. I put a lot of those clips together, and man.
She looked like she was in Project Blue Book.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something going on. It's very weird, but you know, we're talking about the meme wars, and we're talking about the big tech giants are now going after political satire. I'm going to play a clip, and I almost don't want to, but I'm going to go ahead and play this. The reason why I almost don't want to, there's a lot of bleeps, but if anybody triggers me, it's this guy. I mean, I just think this guy is one of the most despicable Hollywood celebrities, if you want to call him that, on the planet. His name is Michael Rappaport, and he's a pretend gangster, and you know,
well, he's a tough guy, man. He's tough, man.
You know, he's like
he's like Robert De Niro, man.
He's such a poser. And here's the thing: I've run into guys.
If you talk like this, man, people will be intimidated by you, dude. And you can just can say whatever you want. It can be as weak as you want. You just talk like this. But see, tough. I'm a tough guy.
And there he is with a scorching case of herpes. But so this guy.
Yikes.
This guy is still allowed, though. It trips me out that you see him on Fox NFL Sunday, and you see him on the NBA channels and all that.
Oh, and is he on TV?
No, he's on TV a lot. He's on Fox NFL Sunday, man. I mean, he comes on there. So look, normally I wouldn't have much of a problem with it, but like I said, there's this double standard. My son gets kicked off for saying retard.
Owen gets kicked out of CPAC.
Watch this guy.
Alex is kicked off of everything.
Listen how he describes minor teenagers, okay, on Twitter. And not only is he not kicked off on Twitter, he's thriving on Twitter. Play clip 5, guys. And this is you think of libtard. Here it is, Michael Rappaport. Disgusting.
You see the video of these Catholic school teenage boys, hand jobs, harassing, getting in the face of these Native American people? You little shit stain. You got no fucking life. Go play some video games. Go try to bird dog some chicks, you fucking little creeps. Shorty shit stain. Hand job. Catholic school cuck. Boy. Huh? Where's these people's parents, you little scumbag? MAGA hat wearing shit stains. This is what you do for fun? You're 16, 17 years old, and that's fun to you? That's what your life is? You loser. You little Kentucky Catholic school suckers. You know that guy Alex Jones? The InfoWars guy? You know what I'm talking about? The guy with no lips?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Lunatic? They removed all his content from Facebook, iTunes, Pinterest, and YouTube. Good, you fuck. You know the piece of shit I'm talking about, right? Alex Jones. You know which piece of shit I'm talking about? Alex Jones. You know, right? They shut you down, you fuck you.
Good. No freedom of speech for you, you piece of shit. Good, you fucking lunatic. Good. Bye-bye, fucko.
Woo! Nice.
Celebrating.
Nice editing.
Celebrating the end.
Was there anything constructive? Did he actually have anything constructive to say other than the fact that he comes off as like he's probably in his 40s. And he's still acting like he's 17, and he's real creepy with all
that. I don't know even where he gets that language. Listen, I cuss like a sailor, and look at this guy. I cuss like a sailor. I hang around with the good old boys, and we don't talk like that, especially describing minors. And, you know, Catholic school, C-word suckers, teenage hand jobs, go bird dog some chicks, teenage F-word boys. What the? I mean, you know, goodness. And he's on Twitter. Not only is he thriving on Twitter.
Yeah, no, he's so extremely illiberal. You can tell that, but he's also a punk. I promise you.
Oh, dude. I know.
Punched him in the face, mm-hmm. I guarantee you he wouldn't have been swinging back.
No.
He was looking for people to get his back and get you off of him real quick.
If I met him in a dark alley somewhere, it was just the two of us, he'd end up crawling, you know, in a little ball, crawl up in a little ball, and he would piss himself.
And how long has he been in L.A.? How long has he been in Hollywood? He's still doing that accent.
I think he lives.
I'm from Kentucky. You can't tell I have a Kentucky accent, but I could very easily start speaking, and you wouldn't be able to understand what I was saying. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not threatening.
But I'm not talking like that now, but it would probably scare the hell out of everybody.
Yeah. And I'm not threatening the guy, but if I...
But at least I could get a coherent thought out in that accent.
I'm not threatening the guy either. I'm just calling it for what it is, man. Yeah. I mean, he's a loud mouth. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't see him as the type to back his shit up either.
No.
Well,
no.
He's creepy. No, he's creepy, too. I would keep him the hell away from my family.
He's a poser. I've run into these guys my whole life. I know exactly. I see right through him. The guy's he's a wannabe gangster. If I backhanded him, he'd be nothing but a splat on the wall politically. Yeah. Politically.
Yeah. But you made a valid point. I guarantee you he's still got his little blue check mark. He's still able to go out there and say F Trump, kill Trump, whatever the case is. And then meanwhile, people like me are trying to figure out where in the hell in that video did I say anything that actually warrants the violation of hate speech? Yep. You know what I mean? I said that dude's rocking a Kunta Kinte shirt as if he, you know, talking about Colin Kaepernick in a video.
And he was.
And I flashed an image of Kunta Kinte from the movie. And it, like, obviously he's got a chain around his neck, but it's the actor playing the thing. And I said that, you know, honestly, if he felt like if he was wearing this Kunta Kinte shirt in representation to say, I'm not going to be the slave to the NFL. Well, congratulations, you're not.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm banned for 30 days. My shit just caught enough. And it's funny because in the very beginning, you showed where my page was in the yellow. My page is in the red now. But Colin Kaepernick, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Like he is the embodiment of white privilege.
Absolutely.
African shirt.
And we're talking about Ilhan Omar earlier, and she's known to show up at speaking engagements wearing a Colin Kaepernick San Francisco 49ers jersey. So she's a big supporter. So these guys all hang out together and, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, I'm glad that people like that, though, are out in the open. Because they're openly doing it. They're behaving this way publicly. At least we get to see who they are for real. I mean, we know who they are because they do it right there out in the open.
You know what else is also out in the open where it comes to Ilhan Omar is the fact that in Minneapolis, her district is the most violent district ever. As a matter of fact, when she became a Congress, when she took the seat in Congress, her violence in her district went up, I think it was 40 or 50%. She has the highest recruiting of terrorists anywhere in the world as far as our nation goes. And what I'm concerned is if all this is out in the open and this is public knowledge and it's researchable and you can find it and it's facts, not feelings, then how come the government's not like actually investigating this shit? You know, like do they not care? We know that there's camps and we're getting I'm almost sway us into a totally different direction.
No, I like the direction you're going, but we're about running out of time. But you're absolutely right. And they're right out in the open. And it's very sad to see liberals supporting them continually. It's got to stop. But we got to change their minds. And Outlaw, hey, I tell you what, man, it was good having you on. OutlawMorgan.com. Go check it out. Go check him out on Facebook while he's still there. He could be gone anytime. We'll be right back.
America.
Infowars.com/show. This is
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. I want to talk about Super Silver whitening toothpaste because I hadn't tried it except for maybe the last week and a half. And I told Alex, I said, man, this is the best toothpaste I've ever tried. He's like, well, what are you doing just sitting in here telling me? You got to get up there and tell people. And so here I am telling people, Super Silver whitening toothpaste is by far the best toothpaste I've ever tried. And I'm 45 years old and I've tried a lot of different toothpaste and it's fluoride free. I think the big difference, the game changer in this is the coral calcium, because after I brush my teeth with this, they feel so clean and the toothpaste that I don't even like rinse out my mouth after I brush my teeth with this. It feels so good. It feels like good things are happening in my mouth. In fact, I find myself brushing my teeth 3 to 4 times a day rather than just twice a day now because I like the way it feels.
The level of calamity we are facing due to the half measures by states like California to handle the coronavirus outbreak is enough for any half-conscious person to scramble to get their bug-out survival gear ready.
There's probably other cases out there in the community that we don't know about.
The trajectory of what we're looking at over the weeks and months ahead is very uncertain.
As the CDC in Northern California took 4 days to test someone who proved positive for coronavirus of unknown origin.
The cat's out of the bag in terms of it having spread.
Tonight, Solano County health officials say containment of the coronavirus in this area is no longer an option. Today's press conference comes after a woman in the county was confirmed to be the first possible case of someone contracting the virus through the community, and not after having been to China or coming into contact with someone known to have it.
What we are witnessing is sloppy and lackadaisical in the extreme.
Should people be stocking up on cleaning supplies?
No.
Should people be stocking up on prescription medications that they have?
Not at this time.
Should people be stocking up on food supply?
Not at this time.
Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
As a face mask shortage of standard surgical masks and even N95 respirators is already in full swing.
Will Barnes's business supplies medical masks to customers, but first he has to buy them. Empty shelves like this one at the Walgreens in Fairfield is becoming more common. A Home Depot in the same shopping center is also out of masks. Barnes says he attempted to order some from Amazon weeks ago.
I just checked Amazon today and they canceled our order. And they're saying that they don't see them coming back in stock. So we're rushing right now trying to find a new supplier.
Add to that, no one with the power to face the reality and prepare for the man-made nature of this Frankenstein coronavirus are willing to, at the very least, face it head-on as the virus is reinfecting those who had been cured.
Officials in China say around 14% of patients who had the coronavirus but recovered in the southern Guangdong province have tested positive for the virus again, and the same phenomena has been reported in Japan.
It does seem to me that the Wuhan BSL-4 is the source of the coronavirus, yes. And my guess is that they were researching SARS and they weaponized it further by giving it gain of function properties, which means it could be more lethal.
Some of these narratives that they're pushing include, one, that the coronavirus is an engineered bioweapon, two, that it was the CIA that cooked up this virus because China is now an economic rival to the United States, and three, blaming Bill Gates as the mastermind behind this. And I'm pretty sure that Bill Gates is a bit busy holed up on an island somewhere reading a dozen books a day, but you get the point.
Meanwhile, the Democrats, in true anti-American fervor fashion, are turning this nightmare into a partisan knife in the Trump administration's back, and ultimately the back of the American people.
This is not a time for name-calling.
or playing politics. Now the Trump administration has mounted an opaque and often chaotic response to this outbreak.
And as school closures become more frequent and the pace of total incompetence reaches a fever pitch, the Gates Foundation and their partners in Big Pharma wait in the wings with their offering of the ID 2020 Alliance and its goal to microchip everyone on Earth as they push free and mandatory vaccinations upon the populace. John Bound reporting.
And Bill Gates is just giddy over that. You know, this whole coronavirus thing, trying to report on it because you need, you know, good 5-6 hours to put together a report at least.
Well, it needs to be a whole documentary.
It's just like hooking a marlin. I mean, that thing just keeps on going. And you turn around and everything you reported on has changed or shifted. Bill Gates is now saying that he's probably giddy with delight that the coronavirus may be a once-in-a-century pathogen we've been worried about, we've all been waiting for, is what he's thinking. And at the end of that report, I talked about the report that came out quietly last year. Mike Adams was all over it about this ID Notify alliance between Big Pharma and Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, to microchip under these circumstances we're going into right now, microchip everybody, vaccinate, you know.
So there's a microchip in the vaccine?
In the vaccination, yeah. So wow. If it's mandatory, we all get microchipped and they get exactly what they want. And just real quick, Google... the news that's come out on coronavirus in the past few hours, Google employee has tested positive for coronavirus, so it could be in the Google offices out in California. People coming in internationally to New York City airports are blown away that they're not screening like they are in Europe. And also the countries that are getting the virus now include now Mexico. Belarus, Lithuania, New Zealand, Nigeria, Azerbaijan, Iceland, and the Netherlands have all seen their first cases. And, you know, I say Mexico, Brazil also recently got hit. And a lot of these are people from Italy, especially Milan, for some reason, all going back to these countries and bringing it with them. And then we've got the woman in California, Northern California, and all the residents there are scared because the CDC, who had these test kits, they had to recall because they actually didn't work. They had to fix them. We're not prepared. And then you've got the CDC director sitting there saying, yeah, don't worry about cleaning up after yourself or wearing a mask or anything. But then you've got, just think if it's in your city, if this woman is, you know, just right there in Austin, let's say, and she's been walking around for 4 days and it's supposed to triple every time.
Well, because they're not going to show any symptoms for how long? 21 days 20, or something crazy?
Somewhere
like
between
that?
24 and 27. Originally, they said 14, goodness. But it's actually 24 to 27. So what we're looking at here, you know, I know people don't want to panic. I'm just saying get prepared. I'm not saying panic. Panic won't help you.
Well, you got to get prepared.
If you're in a car accident, if you're in the middle of a car accident, the best thing you can do is focus and try to pull yourself out of it. So focus. But, people need to be aware that this thing is, you know, it's reaching another phase, and 24, 27 days, that's the end of March, you know, so we haven't seen the next phase yet, but then now they're starting to talk about shutting down. Mulvaney was talking about hinting at shutting down schools. When that happens, that's just going to take us to a whole nother level, and we're already running out of face masks. We're running out of drugs.
Not to mention what it's already doing to the stock market.
And the stock market is tanked historically. It's since 2008, the biggest loss since 2008. The Dow itself fell more than 12% at the end of today.
So. It's all Trump's fault.
And that's what they want.
That's what they're saying. Democrats, New York Times blame Trump for coronavirus. And
so how much of that propaganda is going to slow the process? How many people are going to suffer because there was partisan infighting? All these detours, all these partisan detours that we're going to allow our government to go.
Now's the time. Now's the time to band together. And I noticed in that report that you also mentioned that it might be a man-made biological weapon. And what the hell, man? You're just trying to get us kicked off of the internet completely? Do you want the internet police bound to come in here, tear down these doors, apprehend you?
Yes.
Are you trying to ruin your social media credit score?
Yes. Huh? Fight the power. Right. Fight the power.
Well, look, you know, I'm making light of this, but not only are... I mean, this is what Newsweek, this is what CNN, they're going after us
fight
for...
Fight the incompetence.
For daring to... Talk to Professor Francis Boyle, who says it might be a man-made weapon that was manufactured in communist China.
Also, check out Mike Adams' interview today.
Yeah, Mike Adams,
very informative.
Video. Watch all the videos. Hey,
if you want to know what's really happening.
It's about beer 30, fellas. So, hey, this has been The War Room. Darren McBreen, John Bound, signing out.
Signing off.
Infowars.com/show, band.video.
Thanks for having us.